everybody knows everybody or not. I've just, this is the first time I've met one or two of you, so if we could maybe go around the room real quick and just introduce ourselves and what we're doing.
Sure.
You want to start?
Hi, Deanna Fascinelli, Councilwoman.
I'm Nicole Jones, Villa Park High School PFSO president. I have three kids at the school right now, one at Villa Park Elementary, one at Sarah Villa, one at the high school, and another one at the University of Vermont who went all the way through Villa Park Schools.
And survived.
Just fine.
Good deal. I'm Ed Howard. I'm the Executive Director of Student and Community Services with the Orange Unified School District.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Michelle Norman. I'm PFO president for Serrano Elementary.
Kathy Simmons, president of the PFSO at Sarah Villa Middle School, and I have a middle schooler and a freshman at Villa Park High School.
Cool.
Hi, good morning. My name is Ron Lebs, and I have the privilege of serving as the assistant superintendent for facilities for the Orange Unified School District.
Great.
Brian Benzie, deputy sheriff, school resource officer for four public schools and Oak Ridge Private School.
Michelle Gonzalez. I am the homeschooling president for Villa Park Elementary, and I also have a child at each school, Villa Park Elementary, Sarah Villa, and Villa Park High School.
Wow, that's cool.
Steve Franks, the city manager.
And I'm Robbie Pitts, city councilman for Villa Park. Glad all of you could be here this morning. I don't see much public. I don't see anyone from the public here unless, no, Greg's leaving. So.
Greg.
So I guess we can get into the discussion items if we don't have any public comment. So I guess the first thing on the agenda is discussion of school events coming up this school year that may impact the city and how we can support those efforts with those various activities. So if we want to go around the room and chat about things that are going on and what we can do as a city to help.
For the high school, we do have our annual pancake breakfast that the high school kind of took over when we lost our volunteer firefighters. That's the first Saturday in February. We have a committee that's all geared up. Unfortunately, our sponsors, Rockwell's and Bruxy, who have prepared the food in the past, cannot do it this year. But we're getting a great deal of support from other people in the community, like Flappy Jacks and Polly's Pies. So it's going forward, and we'd appreciate if you guys all want to come out.
Oh, absolutely.
There will be tickets available when it gets closer after the holidays.
If you need help cooking or whatever, I'm happy to do it.
I will put you down.
Why, just out of curiosity, why did we lose the sponsorship from...
Bruxy actually got bought, has a partner now who bought out a share of the company last, I guess it was winter or fall. And so they're focusing on aggressive expansion. They can't do anything right now. And then I don't know, I didn't talk to Billy directly.
The sponsorship is an issue, kind of going around that mm-hmm. people are dropping sponsors, just trying to get an idea. Is it money? Is it staff? You know, what's the idea going forward?
I'm sure I'll talk to Billy.
Okay.
One of these days.
Anything else, Nicole?
No, I think that's our next major event coming up. So.
Cool. Okay. How about?
Is it to me? I think that the only big thing we have coming up, we've moved our carnival this year. Serrano normally does a fall carnival, which would have already taken place at this point. And due to just kind of lack of people chairing it, we've moved it to March this year.
March.
Which I know that I think BPE's is in their springtime too. I'm not too sure when it is, but our only thing would be parking that day. It's kind of always comes down to parking at our school for some reason.
Right.
I don't know if we can put a request in to park on the streets that night of, because I think we started around 5, so it would be a 2-hour gap of where the regulations.
We typically have for the, if you ask for the carnival, that's a big event.
I thought so.
So we do
so
that.
We'll
so just,
definitely
yeah.
put that
just
request
send a note
out.
To me, that's, we'll get it.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't think we have too big of things going on that can't do with our Big Apple. It usually takes care of it, but that's the only big change that we have coming up for stuff, which is nice. We'll see what it does in spring.
Yeah.
Nicole, for your event, the pancake bar, you didn't have any traffic, parking,
no, because,
none of that stuff.
Everyone usually parks in the school lot,
okay.
So yeah, there's no impact on the surrounding
okay.
community.
Okay.
But has supposed to like maybe have to wait for parking.
They are.
Certainly so.
As this is my first meeting and I wasn't really exactly sure what to expect, I don't really have any events other than I know that we have a November 30th, we're doing a Blaze pizza party thing for a fundraiser at the school. But other than that, I don't.
Is there an astronomy night this year that you have?
They already had it.
Yeah. They have it?
It already
okay.
passed.
It already passed.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Michelle?
Great. Okay, so for Villa Park Elementary, the first thing that's coming up is the holiday concert on December 14th, and that is K through 4. 5th through 6th will have their instrument performance. Probably, I think they're waiting until January for that. But that will be a lot of traffic over there. Our carnival is March 16th, and then looking way ahead to June is, of course, our Camp Bobcat on the 1st and promotion on the 14th. So those are our big events that we have.
Do you need any help from the city for any of those?
I don't believe so. I think, you know, there's just usually a lot of traffic congestion for the holiday concerts, and parking is sometimes an issue, but we're able to park on the residential streets there. There's no issue there. Carnival, there's usually no issue. Camp Bobcat is just really a notification of, you know, we show a movie and there's lots of kids on campus and they're overnight and that sort of thing. So.
You changed the date for the Camp Bobcat. It's the 1st instead of the 8th?
It is the 1st this year.
Okay. So
on
it's
our calendar.
March 1st.
All right. Usually it's the, no,
so
that's
we're not
in June.
Together though.
Normally it's the Friday before,
Friday before
school's
before
out. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've changed that to the 1st.
Okay.
I don't have an explanation for that, actually.
No, I just wanted to make sure that that was the case.
No, okay. Yeah, I want to make sure because we usually share it with you because we share
the service. It's the services. That's why.
Yes.
That's a big deal because you've got the.
Yes, because usually they have like the, I don't know, last year they did the dog unit came out and the fire department comes out.
Uh-huh.
But we usually kind of do a security detail apparently with your school. That's why we always have it on the same night. So, and I think ours is scheduled for the 8th still. I don't think we moved it on our end, but I'll double check that. Yeah, ours is for the 8th. So you guys are doing it on the 1st?
Yes.
I'll have to look.
Not that
that
date
that
can't change.
But
I mean, it's far enough in the future that we can coordinate that for sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big issue because if you've got the sheriff department and you do have the resources all out there on one night and to kind of utilize them two different weekends would. You might want. I bet if they change
change the date,
I bet no one thought about that.
Yeah. Well, I had no idea.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. No. We'll chat.
Okay.
But I do know. I mean, Mark Coulet is obviously in charge of that event, and so when it gets closer, I'm pretty sure he'll probably be going. So anyway. Okay. Perfect.
Cool. Anything else? You have anything on this?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Now the status of the Villa Park High School Improvement Plan.
Yay! Is that me? we are currently in what's known as design development. So there's like four phases of the project design. The first one is schematic design, which was presented to the Board of Trustees back in the spring of May, I believe it was approved. And then as they move out of schematic design and design development, then they're fleshing out all those ideas and kind of putting things to paper and looking at adjustments. And they're wrapping that up and moving into now what are construction documents. So what you end up with turning into the building department is your complete set of construction documents. So they're transitioning into that. We are hoping to present the package of information, where are we to date kind of a thing, the design development process to the board in January. So we know we have four projects, and so we've got to kind of stagger them. So we'll be doing that at our January board meeting. Where they are in the process is there are two phases to the project. There's the science building, which is the main part of the project, and then there's the interim housing for relocatable classrooms. As you know, the 300 building is going to be removed, so we have to move those kiddos somewhere. And so we're putting in some relocatables on the campus. So that will look to I should have brought a schedule with me. I don't have it as memorized in my head, so I don't want to misspeak. But that will be the first phase, and I believe that is hoping to get rolling so we can do that this summer, because relocatables in this summer.
Okay.
I
wish I would. I should have thought to bring a schedule and make it. I just don't have it memorized. I'm pretty sure it's for this summer, coming summer. But things are going well. We've had a number of meetings with the architect and staff going back and forth, and we've been working on our design and making sure we're refining it and streamlining it and keeping costs and program to a minimum, making sure that we're being wise stewards of the dollar as we move forward. I know that we received a letter from the city at Villa Park. Steve and I have had some communications back and forth with that. I did a formal response to that, and then we were going to follow up. Steve, I was going to follow up with you and get together and kind of look at next steps. I know that the city has requested that we come do a presentation to the city council on that, and what I would really like to do is not get ahead of the Board of Trustees, but make sure that we present our information to them in January and then schedule the time to kind of come out for the city council and go over where we are.
And one of the questions I was going to ask is, how do we help you promote this to the community? And coming to the city council meeting is a great idea, I think, because it'll be televised and you'll get the opportunity to speak to a lot of folks. But if there's other things we can do to help support you, we offer that up.
Well, that's much appreciated. The architects and the design team have just been in the, they've been not pencil and paper anymore. They didn't even do that. It's all computer. So they've been working very, very hard over the last few months, and we're just in that process of driving through. So we really will have something to show our board come January, and then we could come to the city.
I would just ask you to come to us after the trustees have kind of approved it. Coming to us intermittently is okay, but when it comes to the council and we put it out on the TV, I want to make sure that it's not a wish list. It's something that's more concrete.
Steve and I talked about that a little bit, and what I wanted to make sure was that the board signed off on where we are, and they're
that's
fully
important.
Up to speed on where we are in terms of tracking and the project. There has been a little bit of adjustment to the project from the schematic design, but all the designs we have, Villa Park is probably the most streamlined. It's pretty basic. Nothing really super fancy. It's just pretty much basic classroom building.
That's good.
When you present to City Council, could you also maybe emphasize that this is phase one?
Right.
I was very involved with Measure S, and one of the things that we keep hearing in the last few months is that the money that's coming to the school is only for one building. So people think that phase one is it.
No.
And so they're throwing a fit on how much waste there is and everything else. And we're like, no. There's going to be more. So if you could just make that a small footnote, so that they know there will still be more coming.
So I've had this variation of this question has come up on several occasions. It is, well, when do we look at what goes next? Mm-hmm. So once we get our plans done for the science building, and we go to bid, then we'll know what it's going to cost, and then we can start looking at programming what we will do with the remainder of that money. And I mean, it's all in the master plan, so it's going back to that master plan and reviewing it and looking at the next things and prioritizing it. So that's a good question.
I think also another very important talking point is we've yet to purchase one bond, nothing.
Right, oh yeah. Right.
You know, everything that's being done is being done on Orange Unified School District dollar. Most districts, when they take out a facilities improvement bond, they don't have anything, so all of the architect plans, all of the, labor intensive stuff that's going on right now all gets paid for, from that bond dollar, and people start paying taxes on that right away, right? And I think it's important that people realize that the school district was very conservative in their approach and really mindful of making sure that the community needs to understand that we haven't even started with the bond yet. We got a lot going on, and we're probably not going to go after bond money until we start building.
Right.
We'll know when it hits.
Yeah.
We will all know.
But I think it's important. I'm assuming that there's a communications plan in place and that you have an avenue to communicate this, because it sounds like there's a lot of uncertainty and lack of knowledge on the part of the public and the residents. So if we could sharpen maybe the communications, it would help you and help the people in our city as well that will be contributing to that as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I disagree a little bit, though, because the people have kept up with the Measure S bond committee. So they do. When they read, they know it meets, we've met twice already.
Right.
I think we're meeting four times already in 1 year. So
Nothing's happening. Us who are involved, we know how much information is out there. But, you know, I'm talking to some of my parents' friends that are in the community, and they're like, well, why is all this money being spent on one building? I mean, they just don't know. They're not sitting in these meetings. And, you know, Orange Unified has proposed a public information officer again. And then I don't know if you saw that email that went out.
No, I saw the paper.
It's one of those, I hesitate to say trashy, but kind of like little email news things that went, or it's Orange
Net. The Orange Net.
That's the one it is. And it went out just slamming district waste of funds for a public information officer. But, you know, like Robbie was saying, it's important to get this information out at the same time. So, yeah.
No, it's not just that information. I mean, our district does a lot of very wonderful things for our children. And we do not promote nor celebrate it nearly as well as we should. So I think it's a prudent use of money. The Orange Net News is entertaining. And it's, it's distributed widely, so a lot of people read it, and that's where they think they get their information. You know, so when they're talking about one building or whatever, it could come from that type of publication. And here's the other thing.
Email.
You could do any public outreach that you want, and the reality is that people hear what they want to hear. Right. You know, I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times where we would broadcast something that we had going on at a school site, and I'd have people come up to me and go, I mean, even with the bond, I mean, I had people come up to Mr. Christensen at the end, like last two meetings. Well, you know, you guys should really get out in the community more. And it's like, I'm looking at Christensen, who's just beaten down because he doesn't have another leg to stand on. He's so exhausted. We're at every school site. We're at every meeting, every rotary, every this, every
door
that.
Door to door.
And people are going, well, you didn't do a very good job of selling your, what you were doing. And it's like, all right. I apologize. Sorry. You know, I mean, so we got to keep talking about it, Diana. We got to keep, kind of just getting the word out there, and that battle, like I'm starting to tell our schools, that battle gets won at the dinner table in aisle 7 at Ralph's. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where people hear their stuff, and we just got to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
So tonight we are doing an update to the Board of Trustees. We have a board meeting, and we have monthly reports that we're issuing, and we usually wait till we give those to the board first and then issue them. So we'll have that information up on our website. I'll try to get it up. Well, tomorrow's a holiday, but we'll get it up early next week, hopefully, and that'll have regular monthly report, and then you can access that off of our website. There's a link right on our homepage to the Measure S, and you can get most current up-to-date information and copies of the PowerPoints that we're presenting to the board. And just to touch on the bond sale, we probably won't be looking at actually selling bonds for approximately a year from now, which is a good thing, because if we're not selling bonds, we're not hitting the tax rolls, we're not assessing taxes, and we're not generating loan interest that has to be paid ultimately by the taxpayer. So we're very fortunate position that we have some cash on hand to get the project started, but we are looking at our cash flow on a regular basis and then showing that approximately a year from now is when we'll be ready to sell our first bonds.
Cool. Great, thank you. Anything else? Updates from the various schools. We'll start with the high school first.
Okay. Updates. I just wanted to thank the district. October 11th, we had testing. The PSAT and the SAT were offered to our students at no charge. And I don't know how many people out in the general public know what a benefit this is for some of our kids. There are a lot of these students that would not otherwise be taking it. Either they think that they can't do it, they think they wouldn't perform well, or financial considerations keep them from taking it. And there are options for them if they can't afford it, but a lot of students will not explore those options on their own. So for those students, we had one girl in particular last year that we knew of who took it and performed so well, that was her decision to apply to a four-year college. She had no plans prior to that to apply because she just thought she couldn't do it. So the fact that the district provides this and provides it at no charge for our students is amazing. Two, we also expanded up to eighth graders at Saraville. I don't know if you were going to already mention that. I don't want to step on your toes. But to have them practice that too, is so valuable because it is a complicated test, and the way they ask questions is a little bit different than what a lot of the kids are used to. So being able to practice those skills is really valuable for them. And the PSAT, you know, qualifies them for the National Merit Scholar Program. So, you know, there's a lot that ties in with this. So that's a great program.
Nicole, along the lines with the PSAT, it's also used by the school to identify students that normally would not challenge themselves with like an advanced placement class, but they'll come back with a high score on that PSAT where a counselor will call that kid in and say, hey, you know, jig is up, buddy. You know, you need to push yourself
step
a little
up.
Bit and get in that AP class because obviously you could do this kind of thing. So it has increased the numbers of students that are actively involved in advanced placement classes, you know, throughout the district, quite frankly, but at Villa Park High School specifically.
It's cool. An amazing program.
That's cool.
And then October 14th last month, we had homecoming, which was very successful. But as far as concerns for Villa Park High School, I don't know how many of you have been seeing on social media. There's a lot of concern about student behavior here in the center. There was one post in particular that garnered over 200 comments, and the thing that kind of started it was actually our testing day where the high schoolers got out early. And so a lot of them got out a little bit earlier than they thought they would, came into the center, and there's just been a lot of complaints over the last few months. Kids vaping, drug use, smoking marijuana, even having sex in the center. And people are talking about this as happening right outside their businesses. They're very concerned. They've made comments, too, that law enforcement doesn't seem to care. I doubt that's the case. But, you know, this is the sort of thing that's out there, and it's been, you know, all over, you know, Facebook and the social media sites as far as concerns from the vendors here in the center, residents complaining that they stay away from the center on early release or late start Wednesdays and any sort of early release day just because they don't want to deal with the students and the disrespect and the skateboards and the vaping and the marijuana. So I actually wanted to come to LEAC this month. I can't, but to kind of talk about how we could partner and figure out a way to kind of curb some of this student behavior here in the center.
We have an agenda item.
Oh, is it a separate agenda item?
I'm sorry. To talk specifically about issue.
Brian has some time to think here.
We added yeah. So, yeah, we can wait till E then.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's my main concern as far as the high school students.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Michelle?
I'm already here. So we've done a little bit of school improvement this year. We set aside a little bit of money that we had from an account that was coming up, and we tried to put we're going to put about $50,000 back into the school and into improvements. We looked into trying to get the marquee done, but that's just such a nightmare because it has to have electricity ran to it if we were going to try to modernize it, which is a whole nother thing of tearing up everything. So I think we've gone with putting the marquee up on the school. We're going to have it facing on top of one of the buildings, which should hopefully be accessible to everybody and not, we're really worried about the light kind of pollution from the neighbors since I know we have some sensitive residents.
Have you looked at solar potentially driving that?
They do use LED lights, which are super efficient, and I don't know about the solar.
You
I don't
know to power it,
option.
So you may not have to dig up the parking lot or whatever to get electricity.
Well, you would still have to run something to it, though, wouldn't you?
I don't think so. It can be locally powered just like lights do.
I
right
don't know.
Now.
They wanted almost $22,000
wow.
to do
that. Well, to trench it and everything else, I could see that. But.
Yes.
You
so
may
it was
want to have somebody look at the potential to put in solar power or something.
Well, it was the company
or
that.
The district doing the work?
Well, the district would have to do the wiring of it, and then the sign is our cost, potentially. But we looked at, I think Handy had a newer one done recently. I know Saravilla's is up on their wall. It was kind of a different bug. And then I was going to say there was one other, I think NI Mill. So we went to them and kind of the company that they used and had it quoted. But it just seemed like it was a lot more kind of pain in the butt to get.
So you're going
to
put it on the wall like with the offices? Is that kind of what you're looking at?
I believe she wants to put it on the center classroom building.
I think those look nice. I think they're much they're modern, you know,
they
to have it on
modern.
The wall. It's modern.
We literally have a dad that's on a rickety ladder trying mm-hmm. to move these letters one at a time, and the facade of it is cracked, and so it doesn't hold the letters. I mean, it's literally like watching an SNL skit sometimes, because they fall, and then they're coming down, and they go back up. Like,
spell some unique things.
It is. It's a very trying...
From a political standpoint, too, putting it on the wall actually eliminates... concerns from neighbors about new marquees, because a new marquee is it's like a hot topic. You know, the first thing they think of lights and what it looks like, and it's the dinosaur. I mean, everybody comes out when you talk about a new marquee, especially in a residential area.
Right.
And you kind of will bypass that if it's put on the wall.
Yes, I think the residents would be the ones that face our actual school that might have an issue with it. But and then we're going to try to take the, not remove the existing marquee, but then just put like a one big piece of plastic that says Serrano Elementary and an eagle or something on mm-hmm. it like that, and just leave that as like a landmark kind of thing. So working on that, and we also purchased the, I think they're called cups, I'm not too sure. McPherson has them on their school. It says McPherson on their fence. Mm-hmm. So we'll do like a Serrano Eagles mm-hmm. on the side of our fence just to kind of... I don't know, spirit it up, I guess.
Oh, nice.
It's a little, yes.
Nice.
So we're working on a few things. We also just got 4 smart TVs with Apple TVs for the classrooms, and we're purchasing another 7, and then one for our library, which will be a big, big one, which is our, we call it NPR room, but it's not. It's the library. But the teachers are really excited for that, because a lot of our equipment is kind of failing and having some severe issues, so teachers have not had anything to use for a while. So that's exciting for them. Our STEAM lab is up and running, which is great. The teachers are using it. The kids are loving it for the most part. Our goal is really to get, we have a 3D printer that needs to be really used. So this year we've got a couple labs coming in that are really starting to, they've got a contest going that if you create a object and you can do all the correct writing for it and are 100%, you will be the first person to build a 3D printer off of it, and it will actually create whatever you built.
Cool.
So it's exciting. The kids are really excited about that. So it'll be fun to see it come to life. We just had one of our major fundraisers, Step It Up. We got about $29,000 from it, which was a really good thing. We increased about 10,000 or 10% from last year, so I'll take that as a success. And I think you guys are doing it. Are you guys doing it this year, Step It Up?
No, we do something called Pledge Star. We just
that was yours, that. The like jogathon
yes.
kind of, right?
I believe
you guys do Step It Up. Okay, I thought one of us did. Because I think we follow you. I think yours is already done, correct?
We have done, yes.
Okay. So that was a good success, so we're moving forward.
That's great.
Yes.
With the Cubs, I know Jordan, the elementary school, Jordan did it last year, the year before. And they actually had people sponsoring the cups where they put their name on the inside of the cup.
Oh.
And being a former Eagle myself, you know, and my children and all that stuff, you know, it would be something.
Interesting.
That,
okay. Yeah. I love that idea. I didn't even know.
Is it visible? Is it visible?
It is not, but it's on the inside of the cup. So the outside of the cup
that's
is
cute.
What becomes the decoration.
Right,
and on
yeah.
the inside of the cup, I know I went down because I helped them with that project. Mm-hmm. He gave me a cup to sign, and you just take a Sharpie,
okay.
you know, put your name
okay.
on the inside. It's really nothing deal, but it's just kind of cool. It certainly will pay for your cups and then probably get you a little bit of
the
other.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Solo cups. Like solo cups.
Oh.
Well, they're it's a permanent.
It's a little bit.
It's a much higher grade.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
Same theory.
Idea, yeah.
It's the 1 second.
Yeah.
It's
just the McPherson one.
It looks nice.
Yeah,
I like
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it'll say Serrano, and then it'll be an eagle, or it'll say Eagles,
yes.
and you know whatever it is that they want to do.
That's
so,
cool.
Yeah.
It covers up a nice ugly fence, and it makes
it
look pretty.
It does. Yes. Yes. And those red solo cups apparently are fun to install. If anybody's had to do that, it's not fun. So, perfect.
Okay, thank you. Kathy?
As far as the, I know that Mrs. Oakley has been going down on Wednesday mornings for early start to remind people that once they get their orders to go, we have staff on site at 7:30 in the morning on Wednesdays in the cafeteria so that the kids can come over there. And so I know she's been kind of promoting that. Other than that, I don't really have did just finish our Step Up program, the ASB month.
Do you know how much money you raised on your Step Up program over at
CV? No, because the ASB,
okay.
we gave it all to them now. They
okay.
Oh, Michelle.
Okay, so for Villa Park, October is a very busy month for us. We're trying to get all of our things in and raise all of our money so we can actually take care of our teachers and all the things that the students need. So we just finished our jogathon, which we try to have as our one major fundraiser for the year. We've done very well. Final numbers are not quite in yet, probably a couple weeks for those, but we are in the range of 52,000. According to our budget, though, I mean, that pays for our current programs now. It pays for Art Masters and our assemblies and our PE teacher and K through 4 music program, and those are our operating costs. So something that I would like to accomplish, hopefully, and this is my first year as president, but we just got a fabulous new quad, thanks to the district for their quick work on that. It's beautiful. We love it. Unfortunately, we need shade. We have a nice concrete pad area, but there's no shade. Short term, our plan is to put some picnic tables with umbrellas, but we would like to do a shade structure. And I've met with Mr. Harvey regarding that, as well as our principal and Mark Kulai, who tends to have a hand in most big projects at the school. And it's a lot of work. You know, I'm willing to provide, you know, do some fundraising above and beyond what we do now in order to fund the shade structure. Shade structure is $25,000 to $30,000. Well, going through the district, you have to go through DSA. You have to have, even though the shade structure is approved, DSA approved, you still need to have an architect. And just to get the ball rolling on this, it's being asked that we pay $8,200. To see what the architect says, what we need for ADA improvements at the school site. So you're supposed to spend 20% of the project cost on improvements at the school. But I don't know that cost yet because the architect needs to work and to be able to tell us what we need. And that's the $8,200 cost up front.
So it's a requirement that you go through an ADA process.
That's any public structure requires that any upgrade requires us to anything we do. I mean, so that's any construction we have to go through. Do we meet ADA requirements, current requirements? Even though 2 years ago we may have done it, mm-hmm. you have to go back and review and make sure. So that does get sort of costly.
Wasn't that done when they put concrete planters in there? I mean, they put the concrete structures. Right. Wouldn't it have been done then?
That wasn't taken. So
okay.
the shade structure triggers DSA involvement, Division of the State Architect. And so what happens when you take a project, whatever project, whether it's simple as a shade structure or bathroom renovation, whatever, mm-hmm. if it has to go through DSA, then that triggers their review, like Steve said, of ADA compliance. And so they have to go through a process to determine what exactly needs to be done to bring it up current, and then there's basically, generally it relates to path of travel, so that you have to have an appropriate, handicapped, accessible path of travel from the parking lot to the new thing you're putting in.
And I understand that, so that's why I'm wondering, how did we get the path of travel already
because
now?
That was just simple flat work that didn't go through. Okay. Simple flat concrete.
Not
flat
everything
work
goes through DSA. DSA.
Okay, all right. That's,
generally
that was
speaking,
my question.
Anything that is above your head mm-hmm. needs to go through DSA. Anything that's going to house a child for any particular amount of time, bathroom, things like that, needs to go through DSA.
Okay.
Anything above 8 feet?
So, yeah,
like right around there has to go through DSA.
So have we looked at, have you thought about sunshades, you know, those sails? And just suspended
them?
That
all has to be
the
same.
Anything above your head.
It's
okay.
the same.
So I guess your biggest concern is, well, what triggers, what ADA improvements would that trigger in addition to the cost of the
correct.
Thing? And it's kind of that cart before the horse,
mm-hmm.
is we've got to have someone involved in looking at that. I mean, we can have an architect just take a quick look at it and say, all right, well, I think this is what it would trigger, but
right.
it really doesn't, you don't know until you go down and you engage with the Division of the State Architect and you review your project.
So the district's asking you to fund that $8,200 to
yes.
start.
So on my end, you know, going to my community, I'm not comfortable putting something out there where I say, okay, well, we're going to designate $8,200 towards finding out what the actual cost is. I don't have an actual cost to say, we want to raise $40,000 and the project will be complete. Okay. You know, I can't, I don't have a number. So I could put up the $8,200 and they can come back and say, well, you need $50,000 to $60,000 worth of improvements. There's no way that we can raise any of that money in, well, at least my time. It would have to be, you know, definitely a project over the next 5 years.
Unless you found an architect that's willing to do it pro bono.
Well, is that true?
Well, yeah, if you can find an architect.
Do they have to be approved by the state district?
Here's the thing. A regular, just a standard house architect has, and this isn't to be critical, mm-hmm. but engagement with the Division of the State Architect is a completely different bailiwick than the building department or local
Correct.
Building
mm-hmm.
plans. It's a
Correct.
Completely different engagement process. And so a standard architect, there would be a huge learning curve for them to do this, and it would probably, if they were thinking they could do it pro bono, it would probably end up costing them a good chunk of money just to get it through the process. It's the world we live in and
yes.
the rules we're governing under. We can probably have an architect take a look at what you want to do and use their best judgment to say, this is what I think it will involve, and that could help give you an idea of what you need.
But it's just, it's based on what the DSA comes back and says, you know. So anyway, I'm kind of in a holding pattern, a little discouraged about just trying to get shade for the students at the school. You know, sometimes wondering why it wasn't already included in the plan to complete the project. Other than that, we've also talked about a marquee. We're just in a holding pattern. So I would like to get shade. Is this like our number one mm-hmm. Priority at the moment? I know that our library has had a pretty large donation from Rotary for their makerspace. I know our librarian is working hard to, I don't know if you all know what a makerspace is or have heard of a makerspace. It's just, I guess, where kids can go in and fiddle and make different things, and so they're very excited about that. But yeah, those are our updates.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. The update on the Little Park Elementary School, keeping the school history alive and monument for the school bell.
I can address that in general. I'm not kind of the lead person on that, but they do, I think they had their history gathering meetings with people that had made appointments to come in to bring information in, memorabilia, as well as to tell their story. So the historian is doing that work, that's continuing. So we would anticipate them packaging that up and having that quote, the history book done. I don't know what the timeline is, but in the near future. With respect to the bell, we are working on doing the bell restoration in-house. In fact, I was on the phone with Mark Kulai this morning. We have a plan to do that and work on it over the next couple of months. It mounted up over on. There's a monument for it to be mounted at the school, and the goal is to get that done and over there within the next couple of months.
Cool.
I'm learning a lot about anything? Bells. Didn't know anything about bells before.
The value of bells.
Okay. So the next discussion is student behavior. So now I guess is a good time for us to have a discussion about some of the things you want to talk about, Nicole.
Right.
If I could just follow up on what you said on it, that I am very familiar with that thread that was on there, and we had a thread like that about a year and a half ago that was almost
identical.
Just identical to
yeah.
what it was. Because of that thread, the owner of Bagel Me and First Class Pizza did come in and speak with the city manager. One thing, just to make sure you understand, is it's funny. We don't have any complaints from the business owners. So we know this stuff happens because all of us come here and we see what happens. The business owners are not complaining to us. The business owners.
Nor are they complaining to the owners.
They're not complaining to the landowners either.
Yeah.
Or the sheriff's
department. Or the sheriff's department. So
it's... They're complaining to me.
Yes, they are. They
I've
are.
Had several phone calls.
They are. And yeah. they complain on social media, and we all know it's there because we all see it. Okay, mm-hmm. there's not an issue. But I just want you to know it's, you know, we're not going to walk into the shop and say, you know what, here's the phone. You have to make a complaint about the kid outside, you know, who pooped outside your door. You didn't see it, but you came to work, and it was awful. Or if you see, you know, if I see somebody having sex in the middle of the afternoon, mm-hmm. I mean, if I don't pound on the window, I'm going to, you know, go say something. But they're not calling.
Are you saying the business owners are calling you?
No, the public. The public. Like, public, you know, I've had, like, you know, a friend of my mom's, you know, talk to me about it. I've had several parents call me about it because it's not their kid, but, you know, they're in the center, like, maybe dropping off their kid, and they see something else. I've been up here, like, patronizing these business owners up here, and they've complained to me about it, you know.
And they're not complaining to any of the entities. And what's interesting, I have to tell you, is that the customer is not going in and complaining to Ralph's or complaining into Bagel. I mean, they're not doing it. So
it still doesn't mean there's not an issue.
It's still an issue, but I just want you to know.
They're not going through appropriate channels because I'm not an appropriate channel.
Right.
You're very inappropriate.
Brian is probably Deputy Benzie's probably the most. He's here. And he's addressed somebody. When you were at the meetings, both of you were at the meetings we've had two of the business owners, I guess, owners of two businesses, Bagel Me and the pizza place. Why don't you kind of tell us where we're at, what we're doing?
Well, first, speaking of complaints, you know, if I'll go into Wayne's, Kelly over at Wayne's will tell me, you know, who's a problem, who's not a problem. He doesn't seem to mind getting business, but certain kids, they come in and they don't buy anything, so he shoos them away. Not a complaint like I'm going to call the sheriff's department, not a complaint where I'm going to go onto social media and talk about it. But, you know, the riffraff, mm-hmm. that he doesn't necessarily need that in his store. Same with Ralph's. Ralph's, the store manager came up to me, I forgot his name, but he came up to me one day, I was getting a lunch in there, and same thing, like, hey, just keep it up, because I can see the herd is starting to thin. So, I mean, it bothers him. It's upsetting for any store owner, I would think, to have a stack of backpacks mm-hmm. for your customers to have to climb over to get to the aisles. But at the same time, they're not calling, they're not asking the sheriff's department or the city to do more about it. With social media, I've seen the threads. Unfortunately, they won't allow me to join that group, so I can't watch it on my own Facebook. But I've been on other people's Facebooks and looked at it. And what they're doing is they're condensing several years of instances into this all happened yesterday. And it's frustrating for me because, you know, the sex stuff was when I was kind of new to this position. It was May of 2015. And there was a few kids that would hang out on the AstroTurf, the artificial grass over here. But we didn't have the horde of kids over at Bagel Me as much. When we got them taken care of, then Bagel Me started to get popular. And now Dunkin' Donuts is starting to become the place because the owners at Bagel Me have started to shoo the kids away that aren't paying customers. So now Bagel Me is like, well, or Dunkin' Donuts is saying, well, you guys can come over here. Now they're starting to call. So the frustrating part for me is, number one, loitering laws. It's not illegal for somebody to just be here. Unless they're sitting or laying down on a sidewalk, or they're blocking an entrance to a building, they're not breaking the law. If they're very disruptive, then I can find a crime for that. And in fact, if they commit a crime unsupervised and they're juvenile, I can call their parents and I can cite their parents for lack of supervision, which is pretty cool. However, all the planets need to align for that. So just the fact that you've got a, like say a 13 or 14 year old here in the shopping center, not a crime. It's really unfortunate that they tend to band together in a 60 to 80 pack at times, because then it's disruptive for our shoppers, people that want to just conduct business here. You know, they're not inciting a riot though, so I can't really get on the loudspeaker and disperse. I have very limited options. Now, one thing I've resorted to, and this has sort of worked a little bit with Sarah Villa, is talking to their parents individually. It's really hard to narrow that down and get them, but the conversation I have with them is, do you understand that there's no supervision here? Their supervision at school, their supervision at their sports when they're doing their sports stuff or whatever other extracurriculars, but there's none here. And we all get that as parents. I mean, we're all concerned citizens and law enforcement and educators and parents that are actively involved in our kids' lives. But a lot of these parents literally pull up the minivan, they dump out, you know, six kids at 7:30 in the morning, expecting 2 hours later that their kid is gonna walk to school because they gotta get to work. Because we have a late start for some reason at that middle school. I don't make the policies or anything like that. I just try to encourage these parents to maybe get more actively involved in the supervision of their children, because we can't put that on the school when they're in the shopping center. You know, I have busted kids in this shopping center with marijuana? Yes, but it's few and far between. They're smarter than that. They know that there's a cop always driving around. There's been a fight recently. It was on that testing day. Mm-hmm. But nobody that allegedly witnessed it could give me any kind of description on what they saw. They were fuming that there was a fight in front of their store, but they had no idea what the kid looked like.
Wow.
You know?
And with smartphones, you know, today, to get it simple, take a picture.
I bet if you ask some of those kids, it's on Snapchat everywhere.
Yeah.
I've got a very strongly worded letter that I drafted, and I had to say, anything I send out, disseminate to the public, it has to go through county council. County council looks at it, they approve it, and then I give it to the school district. School district approved it, thankfully, in like a day. Didn't take the weeks that county council takes. And now it's going out on whatever robo call or newsletter email that Sarah Villa sends out. And it's warning parents that they can be cited. It's warning that their kids can be cited. And it's also encouraging them to be good citizens and respectful to businesses and other shoppers. And that's going to go out. But the problem is, and you probably see that as PFSO, the parents that you really need to reach
aren't coming to our meetings.
They're not the ones that are reading this stuff or coming to your meetings. It's the parents that are kind of dropping off and they got to get to work or they got to get to their thing. And then, unfortunately, those are the kids that my department is going to be dealing with once they're over 18, pretty much on a regular basis, because they didn't have that.
Well, and, you know, this has been going on for a while. When I was PFSO president at Sarah Villa last year, you know, we had a lot of reports, and the fights were, you know, worse, you know, a year ago. And so that's when Mrs. Ogan and I worked together, and she started the supervision on campus at Sarah Villa, which was not offered before that. So, I mean, Mrs. Ogan has been tremendous amount of help on this. You know, she sent Mr. Garcia to the center, too, to kind of keep an eye on things, kind of move kids along. But just offering that supervision on campus has been very helpful, just because the kids have a place to go. Because, like you said, these parents have to get to work. You know, on a district side, I had complained to the school board, like, probably 3 or 4 years ago when they started the late start every Wednesday, just because for working parents, like my sister, for example, I had to start taking her kids. You start talking about a Wednesday late start and then an elementary school early release, it's like having a preschooler again. Yeah. I mean, you're never rid of them. And so for a parent that works full time.
Late start is a nightmare.
Yeah, for a parent just that works full time, it's a burden.
So are the elementary schools currently early releases?
Yes, every Wednesday. And their middle schools late start every Wednesday.
So then we need to shift Sarah Villa to an early release, because it's much easier to shoo people home, you know, than it is to shoo people to school. You know, and generally speaking, when you let people out of school, they generally don't go hang out. They go home, you know. But before school, they really don't have anywhere else to go. I mean, you know, the irony of Villa Park, right? There's no park. So they don't have anywhere to go, so they come here. Plus, you know, I mean, traffic's a part of the problem. Parents don't want to get caught up in that, you know, Serrano Nichols Taft traffic nightmare. So they just drop off here and have their kids walk over. You know, there's a lot of different things. And I mean, it's funny because you could point back to a few years ago. I remember, you know, 1976. You know, when I was a kid, it was the same thing. We were hanging out at Ralph's and, you know, the fish and chips place over there and a lot of the stores that aren't even here anymore. All the way through the 80s and 90s, and as the principal of Villa Park High School for 10 years, the problem is constant, but it's cyclical, meaning that it has moments where it kind of spikes up. It's kind of like graffiti. You know, you'll go 2 years and not have one thing tagged on your campus, and all of a sudden, you know, you get banged with, you know, 3 straight months of kids tagging stuff. So I think the most important thing is the awareness, just the diligence. I think the Sheriff's Department, especially Deputy Benzie, has done a great job. My office with Mr. Glass, the schools themselves, sending folks over here, moving kids around and stuff like that. That awareness will ebb that flow for now, you know, and then 2 years from now, I promise you, we're going to have the conversation again. You know, I mean, not for any other reason other than you are bringing what constitutes to about 4,000 children, you know, into your city of about 5,000 people every day. You know, and it's just the nature of that beast. But we do want to be good neighbors, and we do want to be, I mean, I know schools are considered by the law pre-existing nuisances. We want to be a little bit more than that. You know, we don't want to be a pre-existing nuisance. We want to be a good neighbor. So when we met, I think we came up with some, you know, nice ideas moving forward. I know the high school, when it's high school kids, would love to just have a picture, you know, not telling the owners, don't go out there and say, hey, you little SOB, I'm taking your picture.
Mike Lee is over here
constantly,
on a regular basis.
He's just take a picture.
You see him
to us.
Every call I get that's related to the shopping center, he comes with, because it most likely is one of his students. Yesterday, it was the same thing, but it wasn't. It was just a weirdo.
Yeah.
If I can go back to your late start, the late start has been an issue in the city, and it's been brought up in this committee for 5 years. I mean, we have talked to the district because it, not that, you know, the high school, we have some high school kids, but that late start is a very big problem when it comes to the center. There's no answer. You can't fix that. Even though it's great that you opened up Saravella, that people can go hang out, I'd rather hang out here than I would at Saravella.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's very difficult for that many students to start every single Wednesday. Where are they going to go?
And here's the reality. When we talk about these massive kids, you're probably talking about 12 kids that are a problem.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, and if you start looking at that number, 12 kids, okay, we could handle 12 kids, you know, so we just need to know who the 12 kids are. And, you know, obviously when deputy shows up, they become the ones with the halos on their head all of a sudden, right? So we definitely need help in pinpointing exactly who they are. You know, snap a picture, email it to Mike Lee, email it to Deputy Benzie or myself, Mr. Glass. We are all willing participants in helping.
I was down here for an hour and a half yesterday morning with Mr. Glass, and there might have been 20 kids. They'd go into a restaurant, they'd order their food, and they were on their way. So I think the point is getting across.
Yeah.
The weather's changing too. It doesn't help that when it's in the low 60s, these kids don't really want to be out here and congregating like they were back in September when it was nice.
I mean, 2 weeks ago, they destroyed Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, I went over there. I took pictures. I was appalled at what I saw. Just, I mean, everything was turned upside down. The trash was all over. It was embarrassing. I mean, it's the corner of our city, and I had never seen it like that. And so that's interesting. You told me that they've moved over there. I've never seen that look like it did there. I thought, what'd they feed them the night before? It's like gremlins came out.
Dunkin' Donuts was real passive until Bagel Me really became aggressive with, you know, get out of here. You're not welcome here if you're not a customer. And then they got inundated. And they've got my cell phone. They call my cell phone now. They don't even go through dispatch. And then I just make a call out of it to make sure it's, you know,
well,
logged.
And for our city, what happened is I actually had a meeting. I was meeting somebody there, and I called them up. I said, I can't. We could not sit down. The kids were gone. We could not sit to have a cup of coffee, okay, inside of the place. So it's keeping adults, if you will, from coming to the center, which is what you're hearing
right.
from your parents.
Absolutely.
You know, and I myself have told people, if they're a little bit older, you know, don't come into the center at 2:30. But, you know, I said the same thing about Canyon across the street, too. It's busy. Avoid it. You know, you have to avoid it. It's a lot of people. But when it starts keeping even me from having a cup of coffee, that's bad.
But what I would say it's interesting. The owners, I brought the Facebook post up
Correct.
To the owners.
Yeah.
And they were shocked. Like, we haven't seen this. We haven't heard this. None of our business owners, the property owners have not heard from the business owners, from their lessees, that
okay.
there's a problem.
And I hate to tell you, the property owners won't do a darn thing. Like I've talked about,
right.
I've been brought up, have a security guard. You know, mm-hmm. Vaughn's has a security guard
over
Canyon.
Needs,
we all know that.
You guys are taking care of it because we haven't heard any issue.
That,
right.
Yeah, okay. Is that yeah. who you would go to?
Well, the property owners would have to have a security guard. This is their property. I mean, the only
yeah.
property we own is this right
basically
here.
Basically, the traffic enforcement, some of the things are
they said why.
Their responsibility.
Right. So we ask them. I mean, we asked them to even put more trash cans, and they said no. But, you know, we ask them. But that's your answer. But Bagel Me's not asking for one either.
Well, for the what's really disturbing is the lack of respect, lack of discipline at home is causing this problem for the school.
That's correct.
For the schools. For the sheriff's department and for people, the constituents that live in this city. That's the shame of it.
Well, and the kids, they like coming here. You know, there is a good, like, kind of community thing as far as wanting to come, wanting to hang out with your friends, but I won't let my kids come anymore. I mean, you know, last year there were so many fights, you know, with CV, and they kept trying to move them around. You know, one week it was over by Bagel Me, but then Bagel Me called you guys, and then it went around to the behind Ralph's, and... Yeah, it's too much. I won't send mine.
Can I ask a question? We have this problem over here, which I know you have taken care of. It was very bad last year. They were taking drugs and smoking, and we still have a little bit of a problem, but nothing like we had last year. And you talked about the vaping.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've kind of milled around is, you know, no smoking ordinances and stuff, and certainly this is a public building, so we have that right to say, you know, no smoking within 100 feet of a public building. I can't say that about Ralph's or anything. If we did that, that would eliminate this, I'm dating myself, I call them loadies, but I don't know what they're called now. That's a good term.
Yeah.
Would that help? I know obviously it's just another, it's like the loitering law that we gave you guys. It's there if you need it. If we had that, and you've got these kids vaping over here. Could you remove them? Could you cite them? Then you cite their parents? What would you do?
If I watched them
mm-hmm.
vape,
okay.
then yeah, I suppose. We do know, though, that would be the only thing I could really ding them on.
I understand.
Yeah, our tobacco laws in California are vaping, all that. It's you have to be 21 and up.
Mm-hmm.
However... there's no penalty, there's no crime for possessing it if you're under 21. Unlike when we all grew up, if you had a pack of cigarettes and you were under 18, cops caught you with that, you get a ticket.
So what would you get now then?
May
Nothing.
Of last year?
Nothing.
You have to physically see them.
No, that's what I'm asking you.
For the municipal code?
Correct.
Then yes.
I'm talking about a municipal code is what I'm referring to.
But just so we all know, just as a committee here, any kid walking down the street puffing on a vape, he could be 14.
Sure.
There is no law against that.
Right. I'm just referring.
Okay.
I'm referring to our problem right here, which is the library, which is a public place where kids and families are all coming
in. Which is not on the books right now.
Yeah.
That we have that.
No, we don't have that on the books. And when we put the loitering ordinance on there, we did that at the request of the sheriff department. So if you needed to, you could actually cite them because we didn't have that on the books. Just trying to give, and we're only looking at our city here.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm trying to say is people are complaining that like crime is afoot in the Ville Park Shopping Center. My 7-year-old could smoke a cigar in front of City Hall, 100 feet away from City Hall,
okay.
and there's no law against
sure.
that.
Sure, I would be pushing them out into the
yeah.
private owners.
Yeah.
I understand that, but
yeah.
I'm trying to take care of libraries, which ultimately would be taking care of this business, which
unless you're
doing
in public places,
mm-hmm.
well, I have
you could do it.
Question for you then, because we had a parent apparently in our parking lot vaping in her car. And it was asked if that was, because we have now, I guess, no vaping signs posted
yeah,
on
you're
there.
On school grounds, so that's...
I didn't know how to answer her,
yeah.
because she's in her car.
No, but it's on school
grounds. But it's on school grounds, so it's still okay.
Tobacco-free.
Tobacco-free on school grounds, but the mere possession of any tobacco product by anybody at all, period, doesn't matter the age, not a crime.
Right.
Because the law changed, now it's only a crime to sell somebody that tobacco product if they're under 21.
That's so crazy.
So Kelly at Wayne's can get a ticket, but not the kid that's in front of Wayne's.
Smoking.
Yeah. Chain smoking.
It's awesome.
California.
It's California.
Is vaping considered tobacco?
Yes.
It's under
the answer to my question is yes, he can, and it's good.
Like, even if the vape itself does not contain nicotine, you can't sell that to him.
Just like the vape is considered perfect.
Wherever the line
100 feet from the public building.
Well, what about the vape that contains THC? Because that's how a lot of these kids are getting away with it.
I think we did
it
500 feet in the county.
100 feet to post.
That's how a lot of kids are getting introduced.
100 feet takes a post in. He's going to raise hell.
If you'd like, I'm going to be giving a THC vaping presentation at Cerevillo.
It's a much smoking pot, too.
Like, well, parent night on.
Yes. We have some people.
I was going to say, is that.
I think I have sent our insurance information to the district.
This parking lot smells like weed.
At Cerevillo in the auditorium.
Five nights out of the week, actually.
That is also not really a crime.
Yeah.
Really. Let's say I catch a 14-year-old right now with THC vape, marijuana, whatever, any kind of marijuana product. The penalty for that is going to be he's going to get some sort of diversion class, like what they call JADE, through the school district, the sheriff's department, or the probation district attorney, which is like for all juvenile crimes, will divert them into JADE. There is no picking up trash or doing a day in juvenile hall or any fine or anything like that. None of that exists. Marijuana is not really something that's punished, unfortunately, but that's just the way it is. So if it's the concentrated THC like you would find in a vape pen, 99.9% THC, or if it's the green leafy substance in a joint or in a pipe or whatever, that's 20% THC, doesn't matter.
But you have increased your presence here in the center considerably over the last year.
Since I got the position, Memorial Day 2015, that was the first thing I noticed. The glaring thing that I noticed that needed to be attended to was this shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And
he has said, like, on mornings, you told me the story on a late start, you shoot them away from Bagel Me and you circled around the back and they were sort of congregating around back.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
But, you know, they know, and these kids, I couldn't imagine acting like this to an adult, let alone a cop when I was that age, but they know they don't have to be at school until 9:30. They don't have to be there. And they also know one particular kid, he's real smart, he knows what the loitering law is.
Yeah, you get a couple smart asses.
So there's not a whole, I'm not going to be the next cop on YouTube. You know, I'm not going to lose my lose my temper and get every, because they all have phones too.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen to me. So as diplomatically as possible, I try to encourage them, and I've invited down, Lisa Ogan's been down here once, Mr. Garcia has been down here a couple times. Sometimes Mr. Lee will loan me a couple security guys from the high school. Mr. Higgins, the new security guy he's got like a half day over at Cerevillo. He's been down here, but now his primary focus is supervision on campus. One thing I've been really pushing the school for, and Mr. Glass was with me on Monday begging Lisa to open up the blacktop and the grass so these kids can play football or basketball before school starts.
That would be huge.
My understanding was when Mike was over there, they would have
tournaments.
Mm-hmm. And it would get the kids really involved, so they couldn't wait to get to school on Wednesday mornings so they could participate in these sports tournaments before school. And that's all kind of gone away, and I'm hoping that the school will bring it back, because it'd be a draw. And you know, a lot of these kids too, a lot of the what I'm stopping them for is playing football in the parking lot.
Yeah.
If they had a field to do it on, that'd be great. And then they could kill two birds with one stone. Get out of my shopping center and, you know, use some of that energy.
If Ralph's
like
had a security guard.
Field and a track, like right there, because we'd open that up over there.
That would be awesome, too. Kids. I'd love them to
see. Sounds like it should be a district city project.
Or couldn't we even just have it be early release instead of late start? I mean,
well,
I brought that up to the school board 3 years ago.
Because of the traffic issue?
No.
Because that would be two schools getting out.
My understanding is a faculty.
It wasn't.
It was a faculty.
It's a faculty vote.
That was my understanding.
So what is it now?
Faculty preferred late start
term.
But faculty turns over, too, and you can re-present those, is my understanding.
Well, faculty has a boss. I mean, so...
Mike Miller.
Yeah, it can be done. You know, I mean, it would just have to be packaged properly and sold. You know, I mean, I talked to Lisa about it last week or the week before, and she told me a reason. I thought the reason she told me was because that the elementary schools were early release, and that they didn't want parents. No, the elementary schools were also late start, and parents didn't want to have to worry about, you know, early release here, late start there, they'd end up screwing both ends of their day up, you know, and that's what I got out of that conversation. So either I misheard or she misspoke. But
why is it necessary to have a half day in the middle of the week?
Collaboration.
Yeah.
Teacher training?
Yeah, teacher,
you know,
collaboration.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to talk to about
that's the buzzword, collaboration.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I liked it when they went to school all day every day.
You can tell by my tone.
Yeah, well, because if
what
you look at Villa Park's current model is 8 times a year, and the only reason that it's 8 times a year is because contractually I had to do something. I'm not a big fan of that whole collaboration. I don't get me wrong, collaboration is a wonderful thing, but authentic collaboration where people want to get together to talk about exciting ideas and do
and
things
something
like
comes
that.
Out of it, and
you
they're
got
accountable.
It, but not a set time every week that somebody's telling you what they think you need to do. I don't think it's effective. That's just my own philosophy. So Villa Park never had the weekly collaboration like a lot of schools do. Canyon has a weekly, Elmendine has a weekly. We stayed away from it.
But they're on a block schedule, so that, I mean, that's
yeah,
kind of
but I mean, I was a quarterly to begin with, mm-hmm. and then there were some union issues because we just couldn't show up enough time, so we went 8 times a year. So now it's just monthly.
If
so,
we could,
so Nicole,
I just want to maybe summarize what I'm hearing. What I'd like is if we can open up discussion about not having a late start at CV, and that's not something that obviously can happen tomorrow or next year because the district has it, but I'd like to at least open up that discussion about changing that, if at all possible,
to an early release
and not having a late start at
CV. I think
it's
certainly something that could happen for next year.
So if we could discuss that, it has been a source of a problem here for I'm going into my 6th year here, that it has been an issue. We've discussed it several times, and you know, we can't force Ralph's to hire a security guard.
What's your understanding?
But that may be something else we might want to ask.
Early release?
I was told that when Dr. Miller was there, he was the one that pushed for it. And then Lisa just kind of took the reins, and it's been like that ever since. So
the late start. But you've not heard any specific reasons as to why an early release would not be good
that's
option for CV.
We're talking to Sarah Bella. We're talking to Sarah Bella. He'll take it through the district.
What's her name?
He'll take care of it for Lisa. It is a faculty vote.
Right, and then they have dead time in between when they get out of the high school and when their classes start at Sarah Bella. Yeah, because my son's doing that this year. But really, I mean, from a parent perspective, I feel it's more respectful to parents to have both schools on early release, which is what I communicated to the school board years ago. Just because, like I said, for a parent working full-time, to expect them not to drop off until 9:30 and then to pick up at 12:15.
No, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, how do you make that work?
Year.
And so someone has to be dumped off unsupervised
Well,
at some point.
They do have supervision starting 7:30 every morning on Wednesdays.
Yes, now they do,
but
as of last year.
Yeah. But the if I'm a kid, I mean, I don't know, I'm going to be begging my mom and dad, do not... I'm not going to go sit in that cold auditorium or the outdoor amphitheater for 2 hours just staring at the, you know, the stage or something.
Well, and that was my nephew. That's why I went and picked him up every day, because he didn't want to be dumped there. And so I went and picked him up every day because he wanted to sleep in. Because if they're not going to the center, they want to sleep in.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
But something so. That's, to his point, like tournaments and stuff like that, get them engaged.
Yeah, yeah. Tournaments, outdoor activities, something going on. Sheldon Glass, when we were in this meeting with Mrs. Ogan, he brought up study hall. Now, apparently, study hall requires a teacher, not just a supervisor, to be supervising. And then Lisa was saying, I all my teachers are doing this
professional development,
so I can't pull one of them out. Mm-hmm. So then it became a funding thing. And does she have the budget for something like that? So that's, you know, not in my realm whatsoever. I'm just trying to throw options because...
Maybe next time we meet, if we can, since we've asked, we can see if we can move forward with that and see what the consensus
is really
from the schools.
Do you believe that changing the late start to early dismissal will solve the problems here?
It solves the Wednesday morning problem.
Yeah.
But does it become a Wednesday afternoon problem?
Like I said, it's much easier to disperse home than it is to, where are you going to send them knowing that they have to go to school?
It could probably arrange.
You got
go
it.
Home with somebody else.
Yeah.
Or
you don't see CV kids here in the afternoon. You see the high school kids after they migrate over. You don't see the CV kids. They're just small numbers.
Smaller.
You can
smaller
identify them real easy because of the.
Yeah.
The usually, when kids are done with school, they're excited about going home and getting.
Yeah.
Home, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
In
but
the
that's
morning,
at two.
It's the morning.
But that's at 2:43 when they're released.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they'll be released at 12:15.
Right.
They'll probably want to come eat lunch.
But
okay, well, I'll just pick
like
you up at the regular time, 2:43.
I don't know where they get all this money to eat Dunkin' Donuts every morning.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They go home with their friends. You know, the thing is, going home is easier because what will happen is you're going to take a carload home and they're going to come and you're going to take a McDonald's and go whatever.
Yeah,
going home,
that.
You do have more masses.
Well, and the simple answer to the question that deputy's going to get, you know, when it's in the morning, well, where do you want me to go if I can't come here and I can't go to my school and I'm dropped off?
Right. That's true.
You know, it's like, well, I don't know where to go then. But in the afternoon, it's like, I don't care where you go. You know, it just can't be here.
Right.
You know, get on out.
So Nicole, this is an issue that you had brought up. What would you like to see happen?
Just what we've been discussing.
Okay.
Yeah, if we could explore, you know, having a early release at Saraville instead
Who has that action
start?
Item?
I mean, I'm
no, that's the district.
Huh?
That's the district.
District,
okay.
Yeah. That's
yeah, I'll take care
district.
Of that. I'll
cool.
talk to Lisa and we'll figure out exactly why that would be an issue. You know, I don't see it as as an issue.
Okay.
Okay.
And continue what we're doing from the law.
There might be something that I'm not aware of.
So Nicole,
yeah,
I just
like all of our staff doesn't want to change.
I'll encourage the people who come to me to make complaints to the appropriate people because
they
I am not.
Yeah. One of the things you mentioned, you wanted to go to LEAC. Is this sort of?
Yes. This is the sort of thing that I wanted to talk about, Leah. I have one more issue as far as LEAC, which is social hosting ordinances and what to do about, like, social hosting. I don't know
we
if this is
We brought that up
appropriate.
Last year at the council. That was a council item.
Yeah. But, I mean, just as a real quick thing, just, you know, being a parent at the high school, you hear about these parties that people have where parents are providing alcohol to the kids. And so we all know that high school drinking goes on, and it's one thing if four friends are smuggling a six-pack out of someone's refrigerator and sharing it. It's an entirely different ballgame in my mind when parents are bringing stuff in by the cooler full and are bringing in the Fireball and the Jägermeister and, you know, everything else that these kids would otherwise not have access to. And so my kind of question that I've gotten from a few parents and myself, too, is, what do we do? I mean, most of these parties we've heard about are in the city of Orange. They're outside Villa Park. But if we did hear about something like that, and really, I mean, I've hesitated. You know, I've known about quite a few of these parties, and I've hesitated to, like, come forward and report them because these are my kids' friends and people I know in the community, and do you really want to be ratting out these people and have them know it's you? And, you know, it just... Yeah, you're kind of in a bit
744-7444. I mean,
647-7000.
Yeah, but what is done? Is there anything done? Like,
absolutely.
If we were to
Andy?
Complain about a social hosting issue, would you take that report seriously?
Well, if you complained about it after the fact,
no.
There's nothing I can do.
Right.
It's a misdemeanor, not in my presence. If you complained about it while the party was going on, then I could potentially, if it's in my jurisdiction, and I'm on duty, I'd go to that party. You know, if it's a Villa Park party, let's just make it easy, right? It's a Villa Park party, you call the sheriff's department, the sheriff's department shows up and breaks up the party.
Name a family. That's more fun. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So the host of the party, you know, the host of the party comes up and it's a 50-year-old man drunk with all these teenagers around.
Got a drink.
And I've got a badge and a gun on. You bet your ass I'm going to be prosecuting on that guy. Absolutely. It's something that's done. But if the cops aren't called on that party, then the cops don't know about that party. And there's nothing that can be done, state law, nothing that can be done the day after. Unless your son or daughter is at that party, your son or daughter has a reaction to the alcohol, gets in an auto accident, whatever. You guys can go back civilly and sue. And you can file a late report for contributing to the delinquency. It's going to be a misdemeanor crime that's probably going to be adjudicated into some sort of informal probation. But there is some things that you can do. But if it's just a community thing, and you know that your son or daughter had some friends that might have gone to this thing, and the booze that was provided might have been provided by this parent, there's nothing. It's a nuisance.
Well, a lot of times you know about it ahead of time because, you know, it's this house, and as long as everyone puts their keys in a bowl and Uber's home,
sure.
It's just known. And so every dance, the parents are coming in with the coolers, and it's multiple parents contributing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're bringing it in by the cooler full and dropping it off before the dance.
So at that, they do. So at that point, though, can't you make, as the party's going, you can make a phone call to the sheriff department and say, you know what, there are minors at this home, and, you know, I have knowledge that they're serving booze to alcohol because, you know, my son called and told me it's there, picture whatever, and make that phone call. But I understand it's difficult to make that phone call. I mean, I don't agree with any of that. That just is amazing to me. People think it's safe to put your keys in a bowl and give your high school kids.
It's a lot easier to make that phone call than it is to go to the funeral.
Yeah, make the phone call, Nicole, because that's the kind of parties that need to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are not right parties, and they
worst is a parent putting the alcohol
make
there
the kid hide it like we used to.
And leaving them unsupervised there. Mm-hmm. That's even worse, and I've heard about a couple of those. That's bad.
But you can't, you know,
somebody really needs to report something like that because that's negligence.
If you've got a flyer, if you have an invite, if you know that it's there, hand it to them. Sometimes you got an email and it says it. My parents are going to, give it to him. So he knows ahead of time. They can stop that.
If she said, hey, there's a flyer or something coming up Friday night after football game.
And
they know it's coming, and they know it's in Villa Park.
It's a flyer.
And they know, they know today something's going on tomorrow night, and this is what the word around the school is, and they call you and said, what would you guys do with that information?
Head over there at a predetermined time and
try and stop it.
Yeah, knock on the door. Another thing too, they don't have to answer the door. If I knock on the door and they go, oh crap, it's the cops out there, leave the door shut. But assuming they let me in,
got to have a warrant to go in the door.
Got to have a warrant.
Yeah, they don't have to.
For or permission.
But most of the time, in Villa Park, if you're gonna have, we're gonna have that many kids there, some dumb butt's gonna answer the door. Okay, we're not talking about, you know, our criminals.
I've been plenty of party breaking up, plenty of
parties
that they don't open the door.
Yeah.
But we would show up and we would look for responsible parties.
Sure.
If there's an adult there that's contributing to the delinquency of these juveniles, then they get in trouble for it. It's that easy.
You would cite them? What would you do at the time? To them?
I would call every single parent, have them come pick up the kids.
That'd be worse than citing them.
The elementary school is on Wednesday?
Yes, every Wednesday.
And CB's is on Wednesday?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Every Wednesday.
Call goes to the parents, and there's a few questions that go to that parent to find out if they know where their kid is, because then that parent might also be getting a cite when they pick up their kid for lack of supervision. Which is what we had on 4th of July in the morning over on Adams Ranch. Car full of kids, bong, bunch of marijuana, and nobody knew where their kids were or how to get a hold of the parents the kids told them they were at. So the parents all got cites. The kids all got cites, and the car got towed.
And the parents weren't happy.
Parents were not happy.
They were not happy.
How old did the children have to be to... How old were those kids?
High school age, 16, 17. But it's, I mean, it's, I'm going to John's house tonight and spend the night at John's house.
Okay.
But mom and dad don't know who John is, who parents are, where they live, and what phone number to reach if they need to get hold of John's parents. And you're not answering your cell phone. So according to the penal code, you haven't done your job as a parent. So then you're going to get it.
I think he has a last name. I don't remember.
Respond. Yeah. When you call. Sure.
Well,
the kid's not going anywhere until the parent picks up, so they figure out a way to get the...
So the bottom line is, I think for all of us, the lesson for all of us is we know something, we see something, we report it.
Yeah, and report it to the right person, too.
Correct.
Not Facebook.
Right.
That Villa Park buzz is awesome to stir the pot with, but it's not factual.
Correct. That's
right. And it's right. A whole bunch of events that have been condensed into this one thread, so it sounds like it all happened last week. And it's not, and it's really difficult to overcome that when I'm bumping around town, either on duty or off duty, and people are asking me what I'm going to do about this or that. I don't know about this stuff unless it gets reported to the sheriff's department.
So Lisa's saying it would need to be a different day of the week. Elementary is on Wednesdays for transportation. Parents don't want another day of disruption, and staff wanted it on Wednesday. Does
the
that
early
make sense?
No.
Or the late start?
But why would staff, does staff object to early?
No,
their meetings
they want it
the
on
afternoon?
Wednesday.
No, yeah, but they could have
they
an
chose
afternoon
Wednesday
because
they didn't
want to
do it on
early
Friday
release
too many
instead
kids
of late
would miss
start.
A half day.
I get that. I'm just saying if everybody's on Wednesday, we're going back to the other thing if you didn't realize.
Yeah.
Sorry, if everybody's going on Wednesday, then there's not an issue. Because it's not multiple days of disruption.
Right. Well, right. But that's what Wednesday's fine.
They just want an early release.
We just want everyone out at the same time.
Yeah, early release for everybody.
So it streamlines everything. So everybody gets picked up in the afternoon instead of
dropped off at the same time.
Where's Lisa?
CV.
The CV principal. I'm texting her, trying to multitask over here.
All right. Yeah. So let's move on.
Real time.
Is there any other items? Well.
No, I'm good.
Do we take
yes.
care? Okay.
Thank you.
Any other items for discussion? We good?
Okay.
I think this is a great meeting. Thank you all very much.
Oh, are we
for
moving
time.
On to four, the parking?
Oh, okay.
Real quick?
Good.
Sorry.
Sure.
Not to drag this on, but
my favorite topic.
Yeah.
You know, I will share. Lieutenant and I have had some discussions just because people are now, and I would encourage them to do so because it's a lot. Mm-hmm. They send me pictures of people parked in front of red curbs. And I just sent it over to Lieutenant saying, can we do anything about this? And he, of course, now is probably...
He forwards it to me.
Yeah. So I think that's the best answer for the parking if people are parking illegally.
Take pictures,
send them to me. I'm getting them and a lot more now because I say this so often. Then it's something they have. They actually have a license plate, too. So
well,
now they have everything.
I can't do anything with but license plate after the fact if he's moved his car.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say on that. If we've got a red curb parker... call the sheriff's department right away, give the plate and the location, and then be done with it. Because I can actually get that call then from dispatch within a minute or two and drive over there and give the guy a citation.
Well, part of my point of sending it to the lieutenant is this is a regular occurrence with different cars.
Right. Okay.
And it's an enforcement issue versus trying to get some one person. I'm more concerned about, look, nobody's paying attention to the red curb
in
front
general,
of VPE.
Yeah.
And that's where you hear about most is VPE. And that's a problem. And they're dropping off their kids. And several people will say a little tagline saying, I'm afraid somebody's going to run out in front of this car because, you know, somebody's going to hit and not see.
They always do.
And that's what the worry is. So
yeah, that's the problem with VPE.
That's why I sent it over to him so he can kind of get the enforcement.
Misunderstanding. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely for that.
Right.
But when they do see it, though, with the emails going all the way, by the time I get it, it's... 8 o'clock at night. So
yeah, just call the sheriff.
Call the sheriff. Take the picture, send it to Steve, and call the sheriff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And are you ticketing cars parked within 30 feet of stop sign?
If I have that much time on my hands, yes.
You know, the other street that we're getting a lot more complaints on, I am getting now on a regular basis, I'm getting complaints and pictures along Santiago, especially when there are sporting events.
That's not being enforced.
At all. That's not being enforced.
And I had brought that up right when you first came in. So what happens is, you know, it changes what direction you're coming in. You can't park on one side of the street in the morning. You can't park on the other side. So you can't park on that side in the afternoon. There's a reason for it, because kids are riding their bikes, they're walking, and the baseball starts before school gets out. Mm-hmm. But you can't park there before 3 o'clock. I've received tickets myself. One ticket goes a long way. It really does. One ticket lasts, I call it, 6 weeks. One baseball player gets a ticket. They won't park there. But that's what, it's the baseball people who are parking there.
And we're getting more and more. Yeah. We're getting a regular
It's baseball season.
It's baseball season. And it's nasty. It's in the afternoons. Mm-hmm. They're there. I mean, they're parking up on the curbs. They're running in between. So I know it's difficult. It's a small city. But no one's paid any attention to Santiago. Mm-hmm. And now it's growing.
And chances are it's not a Villa Park resident is parking there either.
Yeah, well, chances are it is.
13%
chance. Yeah,
it is. The illegal parking on Santiago with the baseball team happens to coincide with the student inundation of the shopping center at the perfect time of day.
Yes. That's what I know.
Two places at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And that's just...
And the pickup from Serrano and the pickup from Villa Park Elementary.
It's kind of like, well, just, you know, maybe on Tuesday issue, a couple tickets over. That last 6 weeks.
I don't understand how far of a walk it is from the parking lot all the way to the baseball field.
You know what? I don't worry about me, but, you know, when they go in between those cars and you get a little bit older and your reflexes don't, you know.
That's why it's hard. I like for people to call the sheriff's department and report these things rather than go through alternative methods. Is because then calls stack up on the board and on the computer, and all the area deputies see that. And if there's several calls stacking up in Villa Park, other areas will come and start picking calls off the board for me and whoever's working patrol in the city.
I said there's one of him, right?
There is. But there's only one of them. But if the need is there, there's only one stationary.
They bring in people as the calls come in.
Yes. So don't fixate on the one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. No, they're all there.
We have the resources of the full sheriff's department.
They will come with all your calls.
Whenever the sheriff. So the unincorporated areas they cover in the canyon. So we have deputies all the time. We have Yorba Linda deputies that will come down. We have all sorts of.
I'm personally aware of an incident where I had four deputies on that incident at one time. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it was handled just like that.
It's a green wave. Call the green wave.
Oh, man. It was so cool.
But yeah, I just put my vest in the office before the meeting today, and there's two deputies sitting there, you know, discussing something. So we're always around. If we stack those calls up on the board, great. Mm-hmm. If they're stacked up in my Outlook calendar and I'm plucking them off one at a time, nobody else knows what I'm up to. I'm just doing my thing. So, it's always good for people to call. If there's a problem, encourage everybody to call the sheriff's department.
Well, and at VPE, part of the problem too there on Wednesdays for early release is the signage. You know, it's perfectly legal to park on the other side of the street across from the school on an early release day because the times aren't covered by the signage. So that's where you have the kids crossing the street, running out in front of cars and whatnot. I mean, is there any way we could put a little addendum on the signage for Wednesdays to change that? Because I had a kid run right out in front of my car just probably 4 weeks ago.
Did you get him?
Yeah.
Is it a little
yak? That's
a city
item. And that had come up before, and we didn't do it because I hate to say something bad about the school district. School district doesn't ask us when they change their times. And they just change their times, and all of a sudden all the parking signs were wrong. I mean, they gave us absolutely no notice to do it. Mm. So now you got this little sign from a perspective of a parent, you know, trying to read, is it Monday or Tuesday that I can park here, Wednesday or Thursday I could park here, is a little bit hard. I understand what you mean.
But I think if something's unsafe, now it's only unsafe 4 days a week? You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense. If we don't want people parking there during school hours for a reason, we should make sure that it's consistent. So when the kids get out early, that sign applies to that time.
Well, let's look at the sign and see what we can do.
I understand.
It's 7:30 to 8:30, and then 1:30 to 2:30 are the no parking hours. So
and then you'd have to put another line that says Wednesday.
On Wednesday to pick up, you can park anywhere you want.
But then you got all that. we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
We look at it.
Just a thought. Yeah. Just throwing it out there. And then crossing guards. Is there any reason we got rid of the crossing guard at Villa Park Road?
Yes.
At Villa Park Elementary?
Yes. Like, because I sat there, we did a traffic study, and there were six people who walked across that when we did it. At
the
peak in the morning only, and at the peak I think we had eight. So we had done numbers and numbers and numbers, and we had one crossing guard, and it took us 3 months because we have thousands of kids that cross over here because we don't have to. That was the reason. Six, eight people. I mean, we didn't even have a dozen. I mean, we just took numbers and numbers. It wasn't utilized. Not that it's not needed, because no one walks their kids. 12 is not even enough to have the crossing guard there. That's the whole reason.
Yeah, I think that I think it's hit and miss on what days people walk or don't walk.
You don't get 25 people who walk across the street.
Well, and I won't let my kid walk.
You don't get 25 people who walk there. Yeah, you just don't. You get thousands over here. So at one point, we had a crossing guard over on Center and Lincoln, if you remember right.
Oh, yeah. No,
remember that. And again, we got rid of them because most people who park there are coming with their, you know, with their parents. Yeah. I do know it is dangerous. I mean, that place is dangerous to drive through. That intersection is a horrible intersection to drive through. But it was a matter of numbers, and we did the traffic study for it. But if somebody wants to donate, you know, an extra $5,000 for a crossing guard over there, you know, for less than 25 kids a day. It's not even 25 kids. That's the whole reason.
Okay.
Not
so
that I want.
It's a fiscal issue.
Can you do parent?
You can't because of liability.
No.
Yeah. I did it on walk to school day. It's kind of scary out there. I got to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. That's I mean, I did it walk to school day with my little sign. I walked out there and it's like, ooh, these cars are big. So.
We did.
And
we did.
They do. Yes. That is a horrible intersection.
Well, and I mean, think of the accidents we've seen. I mean, Gail Douglas was hit. You know, Carol Garrison, you know, was hit.
We did take another step this week in helping to try and minimize the speed on Villa Park Road. The city has put up speed signs on both sides, on the east and westbound side, that see your speed. And it flashes when you're over the speed limit.
It says the speed limit right above the sign.
Where is it?
It's on Villa Park Road, one going east, one going west, just by center, just a little past center each direction.
Okay, so I guess I haven't
And
gone by there.
You'll see it says the speed limit right below it is, you're going near this speed.
I haven't seen it. Okay.
It's on, it's back on that, it's west of.
The sign says you're going this, but I looked at your speedometer.
The kids
are good at that.
Yeah.
The other day, I actually sat there. Yeah. I actually sat there on Villa Park Road for about 15 minutes because I was excited about the signs being up, number one. Number two, I wanted to see if people were paying attention to it. The average speed at the time was 46 miles an hour in a 40 zone. But I later went back and I noticed that later it was down to 42. So there was, the more we can create awareness of their speeds and stuff, hopefully when they get to the intersection, they're paying attention much more with the light, because most people tell you they'll sit there and count to five or three or whatever before they go on a green light.
Well, they're solar powered too, so they look like they've got a lot of equipment on there. So we've got several calls saying, do you have cameras on those?
Nice.
So it's like,
it doesn't look like a camera. Good. Nice.
Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Nice. Good. Very nice.
But you could mount a fake camera there on the pole. But we're trying different things to see if we can, you know, slow people down and things like that. I mean, you know, you can try a lot, but, you know, it's like kind of like the kids misbehaving. Sometimes it doesn't work, but.
No. Is there anything? A 19-year-old died.
So that covers everything on the agenda. Is there anything else you guys?
No, what is this lit pedestrian?
That was just a carryover in the past. I think there was some question about what those were.
Okay.
And it's not, there was not, no action required on that. It was just
okay.
Anything else? For the good of the team? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you all very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
One other thing. When do we want to do the next meeting?
Are these once a month? Are you trying for once a month?
It's too much.
This has been sort of.
Can we do every other month though? Because like I felt we had a really full agenda this time, just because we haven't had a meeting and we're already into November.
It would be January.
January?
Yeah.
Do it in January.
Yeah, could
okay.
we?
Okay, and is 9:30 in the morning okay with everybody?
Well, I know that there was a conflict
Thursday.
And some of that,
yes,
and I know Kathy Moffitt asked we look at the schedule because she's got some conflicts.
She didn't want Mondays, I believe.
Right? She's always had a conflict with this, so
so it, it's kind of hard. It's hard to get all of you.
I mean,
Kathy,
it's
yeah.
hard.
Yeah, yeah,
she's
oh, no,
busy.
It is.
So,
yeah. But yeah,
the second Thursday, too?
We're the third Thursday.
So we're the second Thursday. They're the third Thursday of the month. Our
and
campus.
We're the
we
second
always
Tuesday,
have Monday.
And they're the
Monday
third
was
Tuesday.
What about
Wednesday?
We can,
we'll...
Let's do
it.
Is there a time?
Sorry,
particular time
nine.
Of day?
Mm-hmm. Is there a time of day that you guys want
What's
particular?
Today, Thursday?
Today is Thursday.
Does it work?
That's the second Thursday.
She
ours
has
is,
her
yeah,
meeting.
Our PFO is
second Thursday.
Normally
Thursday.
Isn't
Thursday.
Done until like 10:15. I just
you can't do
steamlimed
that.
Everybody.
First
thing
you can't do January, but I mean, it has to be
Can we do it at 9 a.m.? Is that okay?
I would suggest if you take the holidays out of what's coming up, I mean, January's tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I would prefer February, but
January is
yeah.
right around, it's
yeah.
weeks
yeah,
around the corner
true.
When you take
the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just.
So, would you all prefer February?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, we can
huh?
be the first week in February.
Okay.
Yeah, just do it
yeah,
at the
February
beginning of February.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, cool.
And then you could do it at 9 because she wouldn't have a meeting, right?
Perfect, mm-hmm. yeah.
February
1. 9 a.m.?
So, first Thursday in February, 9 a.m.
Michelle, yeah, what day is the carnival? You said you moved it to March
23rd.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
This is...